My name is Josh Martinez. I'm the care pastor here at Uncommon Church, for those of you that don't know me. And I am just so excited to go ahead and get into what God has brought forth this morning. About a month ago, Lene and I celebrated 10 years of marriage. Can you guys believe that I have tolerated her for 10 years? No, I'm kidding. Y'all know it's the other way around. She tolerates me. I'm lucky. Okay, we had a surprise wedding vow renewal ceremony that day. I got Lene all flustered, and I had her thinking that we were going to do pictures. I don't understand how she didn't know what I was doing right there. I am not a picture guy. I don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, let's throw pictures on my Instagram. I don't even have Instagram. So I'm really surprised that she didn't get what I was doing there in that moment, but she didn't. It worked out for me. So I had a surprise wedding vow renewal, and our family and our friends were there, and she walked in and started crying, which is always the win. That's my win, is just to make her cry. And it worked. It worked beautifully. And Jeff did the vow renewal ceremony. It was the second time in 10 years he's been in a suit. The time before was our wedding day. So every 10 years, Jeff will be in a suit. And it was just a beautiful ceremony and a great time. That night, we went to a restaurant in which we clearly did not belong. We pulled up to the restaurant in our Chrysler minivan with part of the panel missing on the door, and I parked next to a Bugatti. We're out of place, completely out of place. But we went because one of our best friends works there, and we were just so excited to go and to do something nice. You know, we don't go to fancy restaurants very often. So we went to the restaurant, and when we saw the outside of the building, we had that immediate thought of, we don't belong here. The doors were like 75 feet tall. They weighed 400 pounds. You know those big fancy doors? And I was like, what are we doing here? They had valet. I don't eat places that have valet. But they had all the fancy things, and we, you know, we felt real fancy in that moment. And we were expecting one of those steakhouses that you go in and sit down, and you gotta kind of whisper because everything's real quiet. And we walk in, and it sounds like a TGI Fridays in there. I was like, what is going on? This is supposed to be a fancy restaurant, and here we are in the middle of Applebee's. There's a submarine in the middle of their restaurant. Why? Why is there a submarine in a fish tank in the middle of the restaurant? It was such a cool atmosphere. It was one of the most amazing meals that we have ever had in our entire lives. The steak was great. The elotes was great. What else did we? Oh, we had some kind of weird shrimp thing, but it was phenomenal. It was all just good. Look at this dessert plate that they brought out to us. If they throw that on the screen. Look at that plate. That's dessert, kids. When mom and dad ask if you want dessert, if it doesn't look like that, send it back. Okay? This is a dessert tray. And it was phenomenal. And we had already had, I had 16 ounces of steak, I'll be honest with you, and a bunch of other stuff. The dessert, I didn't want it. But I ate it because it was there. So yeah, I ate the dessert. Watching the atmosphere around us, it was just such a positive atmosphere. Everybody was having fun. Our friend was in his element. He was running from table to table, and everybody was just having a blast. And he was really giving me good attention. You know, it's always cool when your friends have to call you sir, like you're in an environment where they have to be nice and cordial to you. You know what I'm talking about? Because when we're together on the side, it's always, hey, dummy, or, you know, hey, what's up, beardo? But he had to call me sir. So that was a lot of fun for me. I really took advantage of that. It was a lot of fun. It was a great night. It was a great meal. It's something we will always talk about, especially the part being parked next to the Bugatti. And they were still there when we left, so they were there for the long haul. Not even a week later, we went to another restaurant. This time we had the kids, so it's already a little less enjoyable. Yeah. I love my children, but they're a little loud. We get to the restaurant, and we're sitting down, and the waiter walks up, and he says, hi, what can I get you? Didn't look up at us, didn't greet us, didn't say anything, didn't have a name tag on. So at that point, we're already comparing everything to the experience we had the week before. So instantly, we were like, oh, this meal's going to be awful. Like, this is just going to be the worst night of our lives. Woe is me. How awful this is all going to be. We didn't say that to the guy. We were very nice to him. We're not those kind of people. But we thought it. And we said it to each other in the car on the way home. But it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know what I'm saying? The food wasn't that great. It was kind of dry. You know, the water was always empty. We couldn't ever find anybody to get us a refill. Lene got up and served herself. Like one of those nights. You know what I'm saying? The music was so loud, like we couldn't talk to each other. It was either the music or our kids on our phones. I don't know still. But the reality is the evening was just meh. You know what I mean? You ever had one of those restaurant nights? It's just meh. I really wish I hadn't spent my $35 there. It could have been better spent with sandwiches at home. Now, yeah, the waiter, he may have been the absolute worst waiter in all of human history. He may need to reconsider his career as a waitstaff professional. Or it could have been that maybe he was just having an off night and Lene and my attitude made the situation worse than what it really actually was. See, because we had that experience the week before, that was the best experience of our life in a restaurant, and nothing's ever going to compare to that moment again. So our attitudes going into it weren't in the right place. Here's what we learned that night. What's the point, Josh? Here's the point. Your attitude can change the whole experience. Now, not just the attitude of the employee, but the attitude that we took on because of what we had as perceived slights on the evening. How you react to a circumstance is equally important, if not more important, than the initial problem itself. Because there's power in your words. So if your words and your attitude are negative, everything else after that is going to be negative as well. You cannot honor an attitude of dryness. Here's what I mean by dryness. Dryness are those people that walk around with that look on their face of just defeat and anger because of the hand that they have been dealt. Everything and everybody is out to get you. You know any of those kind of people? Because those kind of people, they're sure going to let you know when they're having a bad time. You know what I'm saying? Those dry type personalities, they want everyone to know that they're unhappy and why they're unhappy. And I'm going to tell you this morning. If you want the enemy to start walking through your house, continue to be dry. Because the enemy loves nothing more than to look for those opportunities and those people speaking death and not life. And he walks right in. Just like you don't want a dry waiter. People don't want dry friends. Who wants to hang out with somebody who's negative all the time? Do you guys like friends who are negative all the time? No. You don't want to go to game night and that person's always griping and complaining. You're trying to play Uno or whatever games kids play nowadays. I don't get invited anywhere. My friends don't like me that much. You can't be a dry spouse. You can't constantly complain to your friends or your family members about the things that your spouse is doing that you don't like. You can't be a dry spouse and not expect the enemy to creep in. You can't be a dry parent, never spending time with your kids. Now, I get putting your kids in their room and letting them play on the Switch or whatever. Like Lilybeth is almost to that age where I'm ready to put her in her room because she's more mobile now. You know what I'm saying? Like she's kind of crawling and walking and it's like, hey, that's a Christmas tree. It's not your personal pool toy. You're not supposed to knock it over. Those kinds of things are dry parenting. Be active in your kids' life. Speak words of life over them. What you say to your kids now is going to affect them down the road. You can't be a dry parent. You can't be a dry employee or a team member. You can't always complain about all the dumb rules. Sometimes the rules are there because people feel that that's the important thing at that time. You have to have that positive atmosphere of whatever I need to do it, and I need to do it because that's what God's told me to do, right? And you can't be a dry Christian. You cannot live a double life and not expect the enemy to come creeping through the back door. If you're living a double life as a Christian, you're living it wrong. And we'll have an opportunity for you to pray here in just a little bit. Your words have power. Your attitude has power. And I'm going to give you an example here in Scripture. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the side screens here. Now, in this portion of Scripture, the prophet Ezekiel had a vision of a valley filled with dry bones. Okay, enough bones, as Scripture will point out, for an entire army. Now, my millennials, okay, those who actually saw Lion King in the movie theater, okay, not the new one, the cartoon one, the good one. Those of you that saw that in movie theaters like I did, imagine the elephant boneyard. Okay, that's what Ezekiel is seeing in this vision, in this valley of dry bones. There were that many bones, okay? Now, here's what Ezekiel had to say to the exiled Israelites. In Ezekiel 37, verse 4, this is Ezekiel talking. He says, "The Lord took a hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. And then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord.' And this is what the sovereign Lord says, 'Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know I am the Lord.'" Now here's the key. "So I spoke this message just as he told me." Did you catch that? Ezekiel spoke the words that the Lord gave to him. Now, in this vision, God very well could have just shown his power, had Ezekiel be the bystander, and done it himself. But what God was trying to teach Ezekiel was, your words have power. And when you use your power for positivity, good things will happen. So that was what God was trying to get across, was, I want you, Ezekiel, to use your voice to put the muscles and the skin on those bodies. So Ezekiel listened, and he spoke. And in that moment, it started to build a little bit of faith. Now let's continue. Scripture goes on. It says, "Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath. Then God said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies, and they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army." We sang about that. Graves to gardens. Bones to armies. Do you see what God did there? He allowed Ezekiel to see the bones turn into bodies with muscle and flesh to start building his faith. See, when we want to speak positivity, we have to have a little bit of something to build on. If you're completely empty, if you're completely dry, you aren't going to have anything to pull from in order to have that faith to speak positive things into people's lives. So when God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind so that they would live again, Ezekiel then had the faith to speak those words into existence. So here are two main things that I want to bring out of this portion of Scripture, okay? The first thing, your words have power. Your words have power. Now, if you know anything about the Israelites during exile, you know that they were not a chipper bunch of people. Okay, they weren't singing, dancing, skipping, singing songs together. There was a lot of whining. There was a lot of belly aching. There was a lot of people talking negative and speaking death. Right? It's kind of like taking your kids out to the movies and they want more popcorn than what you can afford because popcorn is $87 for a large now. I know, I used to work there. Things get hard when you're starting to get dragged along. I get it, 40 years in the wilderness, that's not fun. But their words had power. So the vision that Ezekiel had, it was a response to all the belly aching of the Israelites. There are portions of Scripture that say that the Israelites, they felt hopeless, they probably felt depressed. And they would talk about how their bones were wasting away due to their misery, and that their bones felt as if they were in a furnace. That doesn't sound like a fun group of people to be around to me. My bones are aching so bad because of how hard life is. I feel like I'm on fire because I'm so hopeless of everything. That doesn't sound like a good time. I probably won't go to that game night. God gave Ezekiel this vision because he wanted to show Ezekiel that your words can speak life or they can speak death. See, there's a reason that God made Ezekiel speak life to the bones and not just let him be a bystander. He was teaching him that lesson about the power of words. See, words can speak marriage success or failure. Words can speak communication success within a family or within a team. If you're not communicating well, then that's a problem. But if you are communicating well, everybody's on the same page, life is good. Nothing is better than good communication. Words can determine positive or negative mental health of people. Your words have power. If you want to see those circumstances change in your life, do not honor an attitude of dryness. Do not be dry. Do not let your words be negative. Now, here's the second point. The second thing is your faith can shift your circumstances. See, while God was teaching Ezekiel a lesson about his words, he was also teaching Ezekiel a lesson in faith. How many times in scriptures did we see miracles happen because of faith? You see it a lot. It's all over scripture. Ezekiel had the faith to speak to the bones and to the wind. The woman with the issue of blood, she had the faith that if she could just reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' robe, that she would be healed. Naaman had faith to dip 7 times in that dirty, filthy, disgusting river and know that he would be healed of his affliction. Faith is what can change your circumstance. And I'm not talking about adult faith, that kind of faith that overthinks, is real dry. You want to do things your way. I really don't need you, Lord. I trust you, but I'm still going to go and kind of do it my way. That's not the kind of faith Jesus was speaking of. Jesus was talking about childlike faith. I'm talking the kind of faith of a child that never worries about where their next meal is going to come from. Even though they don't know the work and the hustle that mom and dad, or just mom or just dad, or grandma and grandpa put in to make sure that they have everything that they need. See, when you're hustling and you're making sure that your family's taken care of, your kids don't have to worry about it. They have that faith that when they say, hey, I want a grilled cheese, you can make them a grilled cheese. They have that childlike faith that when dad throws them in the air, you're gonna catch them. Now, Jackson, it's easy, because now with what he weighs, when I try to throw him, it's barely up and down. He's a heavy kid. Lilybeth, man, she can fly. I get her 10, 15 feet in the air, but she has the faith that I'm gonna catch her. And then when I catch her, she pulls my beard and it hurts, and then I don't do it again for a few days. She has faith in me as dad that I'm not going to cause her pain. I'm not going to let her fall. That's the kind of faith that Jesus was talking about. And when you have that kind of faith in God, that kind of faith can truly shake your very foundation. You cannot honor an attitude of dryness. Now I'm going to tell you a story that's going to really help drive those 2 points home, okay? My middle son, Rylan, you guys may have heard this story before. If you have, I'm sorry, I've got the microphone, so I'm going to tell it again. If you haven't heard the story, buckle up. It's going to be a fun one. My middle son, Rylan, when he was 4 months old, I get a phone call. I was working as a teacher in 6th grade. If you ever really want to hate yourself as a person, go work in 6th grade social studies, okay? Not fun. Not the most fun job I've ever had. But I was at work. I get a phone call, and it's Lene, and near the end of the day, I said, hey, what's going on? She said, Rylan's not breathing. He's gone limp. I don't know what to do. And my first question was, well, did you call 911? And she said, no. So I was like, well, that probably should be step A. Let's call the ambulance. But at that point, I was just trying at that to get home. And I wanted to get to my son, and I wanted to see what was going on. So I get to the house, and Ryland was breathing normal again at that point, but he was still just real out of it. And we got him to the emergency room. They put some medicine in him and got him stable. And this is undiagnosed, but they believe he had a seizure at 4 months old, that he had that seizure. We believe, and it's been proven now through all the therapists and everything, that that seizure at 4 months old is what ended up causing him at 18 months to have something called apraxia. What apraxia is it's a disconnect in your brain where the child knows what they want to say and they want to talk to you, but they can't. All Ryland can do at 18 months old, he could just go, ah, 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 ah. That's all he could do. Now, every ah meant something different, and it's crazy because we started to learn what the different ah-ahs were. One ah-ah-ah was, hey, I want my pacifier. One ah-ah-ah was, hey, I'm hungry. One ah-ah-ah was, hey, I need my diaper changed. And we were like, hey, we don't need that ah-ah because we can smell that one. But we began to learn and be able to interpret what it was that he was trying to say to us. But he would get so frustrated when we didn't understand him. So frustrated. So at 18 months old, we finally stopped doing that parent thing where you're like, oh, maybe the older sibling's just talking for him. You try to make those excuses because you don't want to admit that something might be wrong with your child. But at that point, we said, okay, we really need to do something about this. It's getting pretty bad. So we went and got him a hearing test, and we sat in a room, and there were all kinds of noises buzzing. And every time a noise would hit, he would look at it. And I started to get freaked out because I wasn't hearing the noises, so I didn't know what he was looking at. So I just thought he was going crazy. But apparently it was like a dog whistle or something that only babies can hear or something. So long story short, his hearing was fine, which was great news. But then at the same time, there was still a problem that we had to figure out what it was. What is going on with our child? Lene, God love her, she's a very private person. And at this point, she felt defeated. She felt as if there was something that she had done wrong to cause Ryland to behave this way. That she did something when she was pregnant, or she did something after that seizure that caused this issue. But the reality is, she had nothing to do with it. So one day we were talking and I said, hey, we need to let people know what's going on with our child. We need to get people on our side praying with us over our son. And so she put it out on Facebook, and we had people all over the world praying for Ryland. And at that time we were traveling as a part of our former job, and every church we would go to, they would call us to the front and people would lay their hands on Ryland and they would pray over him, and they would pray healing, and they would pray life. They would pray those positive words. At 18 months old, when Ryland first went to the first speech therapist he ever had, she told us, you know, he's going to need therapy all the way through high school. This is a very severe form of this apraxia. He will need severe, long-term speech therapy all the way through high school. We didn't accept that. And we spoke words of power. We spoke words of affirmation over that boy. We had people praying with us for all four corners of the world. Because when they said high school, that was a negative word to us. And we didn't want negativity spoke over our son. And there were times that Lene would really struggle in that moment. And I would say, no, ma'am. You're not going to get defeated because you are a woman of God, and we are going to speak life over our baby because words have power, and we will be positive for our son. And then there would be times that I would get really down and I would really be struggling. And Lene would tell me, no, sir, you are a man of God. You are the head of this house. Your words have power, and you will speak power and positivity over our son. We will not honor any dryness in this house because your words have power. So Miss Rose, who was his therapist, she came twice a week for a year and a half. And she would give us things that we had to work on with them while she was gone or whatever. And we worked hard. I mean, we worked hard. Worked him to where he was so frustrated, he would start throwing stuff. He was 18 months. It's fine. At 3 years old, he had to transition from the private program to the public school system. And Miss Rose, when he did his last evaluation with her, she said, he has made such great strides that he will only need speech therapy through elementary school. Only through elementary school. Which is great. That was great. But you know, if you're going to ask God for something, don't accept a half blessing. Don't accept a half blessing. Go for the full thing. So at 3 years old, Ryland started the public school system. There's two sides to every mom. There's the sweet, loving, caring side, and then there's Mama Bear. Moms, am I right? Don't mess with the baby. At 3 years old, Ryland went to the public school system, and they told us in a meeting, he does not have apraxia. He just has a mild speech problem. There's nothing wrong with this kid. You guys are just wasting our time. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. Lene, she just sat up in her chair, her long hair flowing. Looked like a Fabio book cover. And she said, excuse me, but you don't know what we've been through over the last year and a half. And I'm telling you right now, while he may not have it now, it's not because he never had it. It's because we believe in a God who healed this boy and who has already taken care of this problem. See, your words have power. Your words have power. So, of course, the therapist, you know, oh, we know so much more than you, whatever. So they started treating Ryland, and in their minds, there was no need for him to be there. But for us, we were still working hard at home. We were still doing all the things that we needed to do to help Ryland make it through this situation. 8 months later, I'm going to read this paper to you. This is from the Corsicana ISD School District. 3 years and 8 months. This is what it says. I'm going to cry. Deal with it. Ryland has mastered all his speech goals and objectives. According to TEA guidelines and recent evaluation results, Ryland does not meet the educational diagnosis for special education as a student with speech impairment in the area of articulation. We spoke positive over our son. We allowed our faith to change our circumstances for our baby. He doesn't need speech therapy anymore. There is no through elementary school. He doesn't need speech therapy anymore. He's just a normal, almost six-year-old who throws his R's and his W's sometimes. That's it. A lot of you know Ryland, and you would never believe this story had we not lived it, because you know how loud he is all the time, and he never stops talking or singing. But let him sing. Because there was a time that he couldn't sing. There was a time that he couldn't speak. And those positive words that we spoke over that boy and that the grandparents spoke over and the aunts and uncles spoke over him, those are all a testimony to the power of God and what he can do if you will speak positive words over your life. Stand with me this morning. We're going to make some declarations today. Your words have power. Your faith can change your circumstances. So this morning, I want to declare things over our church family and over your life. If you're in this room and your child or someone in your family are having these speaking issues, I declare in the name of Jesus that they will start to speak and that those words will start to flow freely and that they will not have any problems anymore with their speech issues. If you are having marriage troubles, if your marriage is struggling, if you're arguing or fighting all the time or finances have gotten hard so you just don't know how to really cope or deal, I speak passion back into your marriage in the name of Jesus. because where two of you are bound together, the enemy cannot come through that. I pray for those who are dealing with mental health, depression, suicidal thoughts, and in this climate right now, it is skyrocketing, mental health problems. If you are dealing with that, mental health, depression, suicidal thoughts, in the name of Jesus, we declare that you will be restored completely in the name of Jesus, that those thoughts and the anxiety and the depression will flow off of your body. If you're somebody who's battling addictions, alcoholism, cigarettes, drugs, pornography, sleeping with people you're not married to, whatever that addiction is, in the name of Jesus, we claim that it will be broken in 2021. You will not have those addictions anymore. It's time to stop playing games with it, to let your faith change your circumstances, and not to be dry anymore. Break the addiction in the name of Jesus. There are people in this room who have lost their vision, be it their physical vision, or maybe this year just threw you through such a loop, you don't know where you're going anymore. You don't know if you want to be in the ministry. You don't know if you want to adopt. You don't know if you want to marry so-and-so. You've lost your vision. In the name of Jesus, we declare that you will see again in 2021, that your vision will be restored either physically or wherever it was you were heading before the pandemic started, that you will get back on that path and start heading the direction that you were going in. If you have physical problems, knees, backs, shoulders, feet problems, if you have problems walking, standing, whatever it is, we declare in the name of Jesus and we pray that you will begin to move the way that you were created to move, the way that Jesus made you, the bones and the tissues and the ligaments, they will be completely reformed and you will move again like you never have before. I'm almost done. Maybe you've lost your hopes and your passions. Maybe the pandemic has just beat it out of you. You don't have hope for the future. Maybe 2021, you're not looking forward to what God can do. Maybe you were gonna go and paint or write a book and you just put it all aside. For those of you who have lost your hopes or your passions, I declare in the name of Jesus that in 2021 you will dream again, that you will start to do those things and have those passions that God implanted in you for a reason. Dream again in 2021. Look at this Jesus sign over here. If you're online, just trust me, there's a Jesus sign with a bunch of cards over there. We filled these cards out back in October during our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And on those cards are hundreds of names of people we want to see come home to Jesus, come back to the church, people we want to see restored relationships with the Lord. So in 2021, if you are a prodigal, if you are somebody that the people in this church or our people or online have been praying for, I pray that you come home in the year 2021. We want to see you come into the doorsteps. Doesn't matter if it's Uncommon Church or a church by your house. We just want to see you give your heart and life back to God in 2021. Come home, prodigals. And then finally, our entire win of Uncommon Church is to see souls saved, to see the lost saved. So in 2021, Uncommon Church, we declare in Jesus' name that the unsaved will walk in these doors and right down to these altars. We declare that they will be welcomed into the family of God in the year 2021. You know somebody right now, you're thinking of them that you want to see come to the Lord in the year 2021. In just a minute, the worship team, they're going to start playing again. And we're going to do two things, okay? First and foremost, if one of those declarations that I just called out was you, if you've had marriage problems, if you have body problems with your legs, your feet, your back, your shoulder, if you have addiction problem, any of those things, we want you to come down and get prayed for. As I told you, what made the difference with Ryland wasn't just that people prayed, it was the laying on of hands, and we believe in that. We believe that even through a pandemic, we'll wear our masks, we'll sanitize, but we believe that laying on of hands is important, okay? So if you are dealing with one of those things, we want you to come down to the front and let us pray with you, okay? But if you don't need to come down to the front and pray, I want you where you're sitting to think about that family member who you want to see return to Christ or maybe come to Christ for the first time. I want you to start praying for them as we go back into worship. All right? Now, everybody close your eyes. The other most important part is maybe you have all these problems. Maybe you have marriage problems or addictions or whatever. And those things need to be broken. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is your salvation. We want to lead you in this prayer and help you meet Jesus here today. So I want everybody to pray this with us, okay? Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent and turn from my old life. I believe that you stepped down from heaven in love to find me where I am. You surrendered everything to pay the price of sin for my life. I accept that your love and grace for me and ask that you would be my Lord. Help me believe in you and love you every day. Help me to remove distractions and focus on you alone. Help me to show the world who you are and how great your love is. Amen. Is there anybody in this room who just prayed that prayer for maybe the first time or the first time in a long time? If you can raise your hand, we just want to celebrate with you. I see your hand back there. Go ahead. Hey, let's be excited. If you're at home online, thank you, Jesus. Yes. If you are online, we want you to go ahead and text Jesus to 817-405-2244. And one of our staff members at the church will reach out to you and we will connect with you in this upcoming week.